Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
All right, Chauncey, we are two-thirds over for summer.
Yes.
How about that, man?
That's right. And then we're going into the eighth month, so we got like a quarter left.
Okay.
The fourth quarter of the year.
Fourth quarter year for those that have put together their financial planning strategy at the first of the year. It's time to review before the fourth quarter.
That's right. That's right. That's the time. Yes, well, I know, sir. We usually start off with sports first.
What we got, man?
The biggest thing right now is the Kyrie Irving
bombshell out of
Cleveland.
Dropped
it. Did he drop it before LeBron could drop it?
Okay. I just like, I thought it was a, when I first heard it, I said, oh, man, they playing. You know, so somebody out there, you know, posting these bogus kind of accusations that Kyrie won't out of Cleveland. But as I listen to all the talking heads on the sports shows over the weekend, it's like.
It's for real. But then what I'm hearing is he wants to respect a Damian Lillard, a Chris Paul, a John Wall, a Russell Westbrook has. I'm like, you talking about guys that ain't got that don't have no rings and never been to the finals except Russell Westbrook.
Right.
What? So
with KD,
what's the problem? You want to be known as a perennial point guard? Forget that. I'm playing with the NBA in LeBron.
Hey man, be Robin. Go with Batman. Y'all got your Batman. Now be Robin. Okay, the success. Well, you benefit from the success, but. You know, some egos are bigger than what they can think.
I guess it is. I mean, somebody feed him the wrong garbage.
Man, I was blown away. I was. I really was. He didn't want to play with LeBron. He don't want to play with LeBron. That's kind of what it came down to.
He got the mob mentality. He really does. He thinks he's 6'7", and he can wear number 24. That's what he think he can.
Napoleon syndrome.
He's not Kobe.
No, he's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't take that away from him, right?
Right. He's a scorer. He's a walking bucket. He's definitely a walking bucket, but he's not a walking defender like Kobe. And he does not have that demeanor where he could just
take over.
Yeah, the whole game. Kobe take over the whole game.
Yep.
Not just a quarter, not just a stint. Kobe owned the whole game and his teammates.
Because he's that kind of guy, man. He's got that court persona. That will bring out the best. And I'm sure it's not easy playing with LeBron because LeBron is so driven that he wants everybody on that team to play that way.
Mentally, that's right.
Physically, you know, to get after it, man.
So
I don't know. I wish the brother well. I hope he wind up somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, he could be happy, but he won't win no championship.
That's right. I know they interviewed
New York.
Yeah, they interviewed Damian Lillard, right, about it. Asked him about it. And they asked him to say, could you play with LeBron? He didn't really answer because
he can't answer.
But in so many words, he said, I'll drop everything I'm doing be in the finals the last 3 years and have a ring.
Okay.
He said, isn't that what we play for? He said, all that extra stuff come with it afterwards. He said, you playing in the finals the last 3 years, all the best point guards watching you play. You getting the credibility of being the best.
That's right.
Because you playing in the last game, the last series of the year.
Two teams standing at the end, baby, and everybody in America is watching.
There's no football.
No distractions.
A little baseball just starting up, right?
Right.
A little soccer World Cup going on.
But you're at the biggest stage, the NBA World Championship.
You there. So what Kyrie Irving did this past season, he showed out 40, yeah. this, 30. Then he yeah. showed how he go numb by himself and had the offense stand still also.
Yep.
But he got to show everybody on the biggest stage, and I'm the best. I'm the best point guard. Me and Stephen Curry are the two best. So if you don't start playing in the finals no more, you're just a household name.
You will be lost in the shuffle.
Because you're too small. And I can say I like Kyrie Irving before with LeBron,
yeah.
but I was not watching the Cleveland Cavaliers game. I can tell you like that.
No. And they didn't make no noise when it came to playoffs either, did they?
They didn't walk it. He probably walked in the arena and bought a ticket when the playoffs came and watched some of his friends play.
Oh, of course.
But he's never been in the playoffs without LeBron. So I guess he got that. He got that. Everybody saying, without LeBron. So he really wants to prove to everyone. But in the same capacity.
They didn't get it done when he wasn't there.
But look how it worked. Like, Derrick Rose jumped at the opportunity. Oh, my man want to leave? Give me opportunity. I'll play with LeBron.
Okay.
I averaged 17 last year in New York.
And was hurt.
Yeah. I'll take this and put some prayer oil in that brother's knees. He'll be all right.
Yeah, because he's going to be in with an organization that LeBron said, man, you must stay healthy. You got to right. do the things that
I do.
That I do.
And he's going to stay healthy. He do what LeBron do. He might make it through.
Yeah, that's his new little brother now.
Yeah, I think so. Yep.
So what kind of money they pay him?
League exception, $2 million. But he turned down contracts like 15, 20. He turned down money like that to be next to the king because I believe he wants that nutrition and that health. And whatever LeBron does with his trainer, he wants to be a part of that. I think he's ready to be tutored by LeBron.
Yeah.
Because he has the same kind of game. Explosiveness, attacking, can post up guards. He got it.
Just never had nobody that could complement his game.
He haven't had nobody. Okay. He haven't had nobody to defer to. He got right. with Carmelo. Carmelo hogged the clock. LeBron is more like, here, young fella, go ahead.
Right, and he'll go to the hole.
Yep.
Okay. Well, Carmelo want to shoot jump shots too.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. When LeBron go to the hole, draw that extra defender, he kick it back out. Rose, he good to go, man.
He good to go. I always like Rose in his whole career. So it's just like I'm glad he's getting some light to shine on his career again and. Him to go in the right direction, and that's just beautiful.
Yeah, man, I wish it all works out for him, regardless of what happens in 2019.
That's right. Yeah, if he go to Hollywood, I don't rock too much purple and gold, but I think that if he go to Hollywood, they're gonna have to get some black jerseys for me.
Okay, Magic got to change it up.
wear the black jerseys. I wear the black ones. I can't wear the purple and gold. All that look, I can't do it. But I love Magic though, cause he's a Spartan, and that's my guy, man. Magic the man.
Magic making moves out there, man, they will be competitive. They may not win a championship, but they won't be what they were last year.
That's right. You right.
Okay, he's putting the pieces in place, man, to be competitive.
They just brought Caldwell Pope in, too, from the Pistons. Yeah. They brought another shooter in.
Another shooter, man. Okay, so it's going. He trying to get it back to showtime.
Yeah.
We run
Michael
the
Michael Cooper. That's what Caldwell Pope reminded me of.
Michael Cooper.
Play D, run the lane, hit the jump.
Yep. And our boy looked good. You know, he was with MVP in the summer league.
Yep.
So.
We're going to be all right. Lonzo got us rolling. So.
The pieces are starting to come together for our boy.
For the king to walk through the door.
Yeah. Well, we know who at the top. We know who we got to knock off.
That's right. They said that they haven't did anything but just resign their guys and everything.
Yep.
So
everybody come on in. What you got to have to stay.
Yep.
We ain't negotiating. Right.
What you got to have to stay.
Okay. If it look good, we're good to go.
We're good to go.
Sign
that paper.
Negotiating.
Yep. Nope. What we got next? We got some football. What?
Well, your guy.
White?
That went to Oregon.
Okay.
Where's he at now?
Oh, we got locally. We got Trevor Manuel going to Olivet.
Trevor Manuel. Yep. Went from Oregon, Pac-10. Didn't Oregon go deep into the
yes,
NCAA
right.
playoffs?
Yeah, they
this
lost
year?
I don't know if they lost to Duke or somebody, but they made
they
it.
They were like a Sweet 16.
They lost to Kansas or someone. They made it far.
The Elite Eight, somewhere yeah. in that.
But he didn't
man.
Play that. He didn't play. He set the bench, and I think they was going to redshirt him, so he left.
Oh.
So when he left, he was in limbo because he left, just left. So then when you leave a school like that, if you don't have your grades or something, you go down to Division II. But Olivet's like, what, Division III?
It got to be Division III, man.
Yep. I know Lil Will Robeson also signed with them, too, that played Muskegon on the championship
really?
Team. They got him.
Great.
So it's in the woodworks, it's a couple other guys that I'm not going to mention that's going to be signing also from this area. So look like Olivet trying to know where the talent is at.
Pipeline down
that's
in
right.
Olivet, man.
So let's get it going. Let's get our kids to school, get them some scholarship opportunities. And, hey, let's make it happen. I see some big things happening great in our community. So
Olivet.
Shouts out to Olivet for bringing in a major D1 prospect.
Yeah, trying to get it done. But it was one other story I wanted to bring to our audience attention before we move
on. The Cowboys, I think?
The Cowboys. Chauncey kid by the name of Whitehead was a wide receiver.
One of the best, is he, on the team?
Well, you know, he was one of those players that could be great, okay? He's just in that mode now where he's trying to find his niche. But you couldn't be with a better organization when you got Dak Prescott at the quarterback helm.
You're right.
Okay, he's going to make – average wide receivers look great. But, you know, we're in training camp now, first week of training camp, and the story breaks about him being accused of shoplifting.
What? He rich.
Okay. Accused.
Why would he steal?
Hey, man, it's beyond me. All right? So the story breaks that there is a warrant out for his arrest. He has a court date to appear. He doesn't show up. They get the word to the Dallas organization, and they cut him. All right, cut him, send him packing. next day, police department down in Virginia issued a statement that, oh, boy, we had the wrong guy. That's not the guy we were looking for. He has an ironclad alibi. He wasn't even in the state when it went down. So it was an issue of, like, mistaken identity, but yet they went ahead and charged this guy, released this information to the media. The media took it, ran with it, put it on the Dallas Cowboys doorstep. They reacted, and this kid all the time was saying, hey, man, wasn't me. I wasn't even in the area. And they didn't even do the due diligence to give a guy a chance to exonerate himself, because I always thought you were innocent till proven guilty. But yet, sending packet. So now, do you rescind that offer and say, okay, no, I'll come back? That's kind of bush league, man. It's like, maybe I don't want to come back. If that's how you guys are going to treat players.
That's scary, man.
You know, I don't even know.
Mistaken identity, man. That's
mistaken identity.
Is that racial profiling or what? What was that?
Be very close to it, Chauncey.
You slander my name and then.
Yeah.
Nobody can't call me from the organization and say, hey, where you at, brother?
Right.
Right. You good? There's some accusations about you in the paper.
Yeah.
That you stole something.
Right.
What's going on?
You all right? Failed to appear.
You all right?
Issued a bench warrant.
Well, what's going on? I'm in the Bahamas.
Yeah. Man, I've been out here on the practice field all week sweating, and I was in training camp here in Dallas prior to that. But yet, it was supposedly took place in Virginia, thousands of miles away.
Somebody.
That's some crazy story or what?
Man, that's somebody trying to blackball somebody.
Sounds like it, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Young man might have some legal implications here, be it the police station or the some of the news media. So it's going to be interesting.
Man, that's amazing, man. That's
blew me away.
You work so hard for something, and it just make you just think like people are really trying to target you. It's not
gone.
It's not worth it. And then, you know, the NFL contracts are not guaranteed.
Oh,
so,
no.
Like, you get a paycheck every week.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They're like, they get some money for coming to training camp, too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, some of the people that don't get drafted get, like, it's probably $10,000 now. But I remember when we was coming out of college, my buddies that got to the NFL off the practice squad, they got, like, $8,000, $7,500 for that week. That was a good $7,500 move. They either bought a car, they was put a down payment down on the house, or they was able to do some traveling to go to the Euro League or something. That $7,500 held them over for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So he got that check, and all the checks disappeared.
He gone, man. So hopefully he has enough talent, and there's enough GMs out there that look at the kid and say, you know, we got to get this guy shot.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It really will. So I like to continue to follow that story, Charles.
Yeah, that's interesting, man.
Yeah. And then one more item before we get into our show. We got to talk about this new law about distracted driving. Okay, takes effect July 1st, 2017. Very interesting. A lot of tidbits that I don't think people are completely aware of.
What's the name of it? What's the bill?
It's the distracted driving law.
Okay, distracted driving law. That means give me some characteristics of this law.
Well, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the stage for you. And it basically says, as a part of a new campaign against distracted driving, Michigan State Police will begin riding in unmarked cars, looking to catch folks breaking the law. The campaign is titled Operation Ghost Rider. We'll allow police to spot distracted driving violators and will notify another marked car to pull the driver over. And driver inattention is a leading factor in most crashes and near crashes, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. So a lot of the data that they got and they're reacting to came from these folks. And it says driving is a visual task and non-driving activities that draw the driver's eyes away from the roadway should always be avoided. As July 1st, 2017, Michigan law prohibits texting while driving. The first offense for motorists, $100 fine. Subsequent offenses cost $200. There are three main types of distracted driving. Visual, taking your eyes off the road. Manual, taking your hands off the wheel. Cognitive, taking your mind off of what you are doing. Distracted activities include using a cell phone and or texting, eating and drinking, talking to passengers, grooming, reading, including maps, using a PDA or navigation system, watching a video, changing a radio station, CD. So those are a lot of things that we normally take for granted, but now could open yourself up to a stop by the police and being issued a ticket. So there's a lot of more issues along here that they need to take close attention to, pay close attention to, because these guys are going to be out there and they're going to start writing tickets. So that's just a small sampling of all the initiatives that's coming after the distracted driving. So go into their website, Michigan State Police, and it'll give you all the details as to what they will be enforcing when it comes to distracted driving.
All right, so be on the lookout. You can't be texting. You can't eat your sandwich while you're driving.
No.
Can't look at your nails. Can't turn the knob on the radio.
No.
Can't talk to the passenger.
It's what it says.
Oh, man. That's my time to have. So I be talking to myself. Cause it's
distracted driving.
I talk to myself. What do I like talking to the Lord? Be like, I'm about to go in this place. I got this job interview. Then the police pull you up and say, who you talking to?
Right.
Like, I'm talking to Jesus. I'm trying to get Jesus on the main line.
Okay. Right,
so I don't understand that. That's kind of weird, man. So we're going to see.
It's guys. Broad, though, man. It's
yeah.
broad.
That's another way to racial profile somebody. I'm going to bring that up.
Okay.
He was talking to himself. You know, a lot of times some people in certain cultures are really emotional. Well, when certain songs come on, they singing in the car like they talking to somebody.
Yeah.
They might be crying in the car.
Yeah, and you know, some people can't talk without looking at you, right?
That's right.
So if you're driving and he's got to take his eyes off the road to look at his passenger, be it his spouse or his partner, whoever it is, and the police see you.
Out of there.
Them grounds to pull you over for distracted driving.
Oh, man.
You that $100 ticket.
Woo-wee.
So, be careful.
All right.
Get ready for the new laws.
What we got today on our financial show is mortgage help for debt-strapped, saddled grads. And just I just want to make an announcement today. Something that we just did at our company, we were able to help people right now, Tony, that's currently being garnished.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
To get them out of garnishment and get them on the right track again. Without a court order, because a lot of times I know in the past when we had clients, Tony, when they told me they was garnished, there was nothing we could do for them. So now it's in place. And that's something I've been praying for. I'm like, man, because I done seen people lose $7,000, $9,000, $5,000. The highest amount I've seen somebody lose in their income taxes, because it's that quarter right now. It's the seventh month about to end. Mm-hmm. The final quarter, if you haven't paid in the last 6 months of your student loan, they put that summons in. And a lot of times your employer don't tell you.
Oh, no.
And when that garnishment hit.
Oh, no.
Woo! I got done like this in 2003. When it hit, you'd be like, I should have paid my tithes. Why did God do me like this? When they hit you.
Got your attention.
They got your attention. And what you gonna do is you scramble. Yeah, what can I do? Can I work out a payment? Can I do this? Can I do that? And it seemed like in the past, for me, when it happened to me years ago, probably about 14 years ago, was no help for me. Mm-hmm. So today I'm telling people that we have the plan and the program. You know me. My name is Chauncey Williams. I'm on Facebook, Credit and Debt Help. Inbox me. Send me a text message, 231-683-5342, and we can help you get out. So I just want to share that with everybody because that's major.
It's great stuff, man.
That's major because a lot of times when you're in a program and they try to rehab the loan, Tony, they'll garnish you up for 1 year. Mm-hmm. Or they'll take your income tax. Then they'll garnish 20% of your income. Take your income tax. Take that $5,000. Take that $7,000. Take that $9,000. And then say, okay, and we're going to garnish you with 20% of your paycheck.
That's a heavy financial hit, man. That can set you back tremendously.
So the people that got them summons, you like, I'm thinking about it. They not going to do me. I'm different. This not going to happen to me. I'm only going to use cash. They not going to be able to find my. No, if your Social Security number attached to it, when you sign a promissory note for a student loan, or your parents sign a parent plus loan, you hit. They coming. So I just want to just reiterate that because if you get into trouble like that, trying to get a house, like we got mortgage help today for debt straddle graduates, you're not going to get no home. You're not going to be able to do anything. Mm-mm. Because the way it's set up now, everything is set up to help the person with college debt. Because like right now, it's the article I have there says what we owe. It says here's the breakdown of the $12.6 trillion in the household debt.
What was student, that again? How much was it?
$12.6 trillion in household debt.
Not billion.
Trillion, man.
Trillion.
Add a comma.
That's a lot of money, brother. A lot of money.
So it says student loan debt has risen by 170% since 2006 and is currently standing at $1.3 trillion. So here's a breakdown of the percentages, Tony. You got 67%. Okay, that's mortgages. So that's 67. So you know, somebody, you're gonna buy a house, you're gonna have some debt.
Oh my God! Okay. Yes, yeah.
That's a good debt to carry.
$400,000 home.
Tax write off, interest, you know, depreciation, add ons. That's a bank account.
Yep.
So I understand that. But then student loan follow that right up with 10%. Then you got your auto loans 9%, and then the cars are getting to be more expensive.
Oh yeah.
A decent car costs you $35,000.
That's it.
Brand new. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. We're not talking no high end either. Okay.
I know you're talking about some cloth, Riley.
Okay. Oh, definitely cloth.
Yep. Yeah. Then you got credit card debt 6%. And then others. So then when you look at that, because you're going to have health care debt, because some people financing their health care, you know, they major emergency surgeries. But what they're doing now for people is saying that, see, most times when people leave school, they talk about $34,000 in debt. But then millennials, they're struggling in their own homes. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing now is they say when calculating for a borrower the monthly debt-to-income ratio, the lenders will exclude payments made in the past year by someone else, typically a parent or employer, for non-mortgage debt, including student loans. And for those on an income-adjusted repayment plan, lenders will use the lower payment on a federal insured loan instead of the higher, fully amortized payment of the principal and the interest.
Okay.
So they'll use that to balance you out, so you'll take the benefit of the doubt. You'll have more income than debt. Because they're saying what you're paying monthly instead of saying what the whole loan is.
Right. Trying to make you qualify.
That's right.
For the loan is basically what they're doing. They're shuffling this money around because you are working, okay, but you do have some additional debt.
Yeah, and you pay a student loan back, but it's a large loan. But if you show them that you're in a repayment plan or you got some things you worked out or you got somebody else paying your parent plus loan because your mom and them took a loan out, that don't count against you.
Okay.
They discounting that for you. So now it's freeing up more income.
Gotcha.
So then they won't show that $100,000 loan, $70,000 loan, $50,000. They won't show that. They just show the payment. Say your payment is based on your income, and it's like $100, $150. They're not showing that $90,000. Say, well, you're only paying $150 a month here. So you're taking that actual word we mentioned when we come on a year earlier, that budget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that word, they say, okay, what's your budget? This is what it looks like. This is what your monthly is. Let's put a mortgage payment in there.
Right.
So then you said over the next couple of years, you could pay this. If you're in a forgiveness program or whatever, they'll help you get out that situation.
Yeah, because millennials at one time were not in the housing market because of the laws were not, you know, conducive for them to qualify for a loan
because the student
loan debt was so heavy.
It was ridiculous.
Okay, and had them upside down already.
Yep.
So they had to make some changes in order for folks to go out and buy homes. You know, speaking of that, Detroit, you had mentioned this before.
Yes, sir.
Bring this up.
Yes, I want
teachers.
Talk, yes, right. I wanted that in Muskegon, man. That's how I bought my first property.
I said that's what Chauncey was talking about.
I bought my first property in Taylor, Michigan.
Okay.
In a subdivision that was a housing project that they took the housing projects and they merged 2-in-1 bedrooms into 3 bedrooms.
Okay.
I had a 3 bathrooms and 3 bedrooms, 3 baths, and I paid $70,000 right by the airport. Great. Regular price was $140,000. I got it for 50% off.
50% off.
And it was for a countywide. It was Wayne Countywide Teacher Next Door program.
Okay.
Because I worked in Detroit, but I got a condo in Taylor, and they just let me get it.
Well, you was in the county of Wayne.
You was county of Wayne.
So they qualified.
But I was in a subdivision that was once in a poverty-stricken Section 8 area, and they renovated it.
Okay.
So it was postal workers in there, people that worked for the airline, military, police officers. Man, that neighborhood was so fun.
Okay.
Then the mortgage crisis came.
Yeah. So and everybody got hurt. Yeah,
everybody got hurt in that situation. Airline laid off, certain things. But it benefited that community, man. We didn't have no crime. I knew all my neighbors. We had potlucks. It was crazy fun. I didn't have to leave my complex, my area.
Great.
Man, that was what you call a neighborhood.
Yeah,
some
like
good
we
neighbors.
Grew up in.
Yeah.
Everybody knew everybody.
Yep. I ain't lock my door. I ain't lock my door sometimes.
Okay.
I remember. I ain't lock my door because I was a single guy. I used to have a housekeeper. So I was just like, she's like, you never locked the door. Like, the alarm on there. It's all right. Okay. You know the code.
Right.
And it was like my neighbors were so nice, man, I just couldn't believe it. And we had a melting pot of people out there. But based on the professions of people, everybody had something to lose.
Mm-hmm.
So the association took care of us, but we also took care of each other.
Right.
You know, somebody needed their groceries carried in. It was an older lady, I'd carry her groceries in. Whatever. So it really changed the whole dynamic. So I'm looking for Muskegon to do something
to
like
adopt
that.
Adopt that kind of, you know, strategy, man. When I heard about that in Detroit, I thought, okay, this, whoever it is, the mayor or whatever, they get it.
That do something to
they
kids.
Get it, man.
When you got that coach in your neighborhood, he live down the street, or that teacher that don't be playing,
yep.
Or that teacher that you love, the kindergarten teacher, first grade, and she live on your block or he lives on your block, that changed the whole
makes
dynamic. Oh, they're going to miss the whims. Put that away.
Yeah.
You know, we got no business out being out, man. Here you come.
Put your pants up.
So that changes the dynamics of a community because now you have people that their own.
Has a vested interest in the community.
They're shaping their neighborhood. So I saw that I was just, I mean, you know, Detroit got some beautiful homes, too.
They do. Man.
Give me a brownstone in Detroit. One of them.
Okay. It's not all blight now. Come
hardwood
on.
Floors, cathedral ceilings. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Big fireplaces.
Yes.
The loft properties they have. We talking about Detroit.
Detroit, man. You know, at one time, Detroit had more owned homes than anywhere in the country. More.
I can't believe it.
Than anywhere in the country.
Man, beautiful properties, man. I love that stuff. Look like castles, some of those places.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was good news. And I hope somebody in this area get that same notion.
Yep. And the third way this initiative allows homeowners to refinance their mortgages is taking cash out to disperse directly to a student loan lender to pay off debt. So let's say if you enter in a program where you're like 10-year forgiveness, all right? And a lot of times they say you have to renew every year. If you refinance, take that 10-year balance out and put it in, like you say, an annuity or something that you can save interest on.
Right.
And just pay your loan off.
Pay your loan
off. But just have it there in an account where it can withdraw, and you just redo your paperwork every year, and you have it done. So then the mortgage company give you the home. They're like, you got the home, and you paid off your student loan.
Yeah, it's instant equity. When you go in, if you give them a 50% like you had, when you go into that house, you have instant equity because this house is valued at 140.
Yep.
You get it at 70. You're sitting on 70 grand of equity.
Even when the community, like, you know, when the mortgage crisis happened, you know, some people had, nobody had the short sale because it's like, we got them for 70. So it was like, okay, we'll go. The house worth 140, we'll give you 94. I'm like, well, I only paid 74. Let's go.
Right.
You know, when the mortgage crisis came, we had to do a short sale. I'm like, I got 95. I'm like, I made 20. Yeah. I got a nest egg. So it's like little things like that that you need to know going in, looking at how the programs can benefit people. So being able to pay off a student loan or that that also help parents or grandparents who borrowed to help their kids and now want to refinance.
Mm-hmm.
So they can be like, okay, I want to pay off this Parent PLUS loan. I can refinance now because this student loan debt was holding me up. So now it's criteria written into law that they can refinance to pay off that debt. A lot of times, you know, it's not refinance, it's hard to get.
Oh, yes.
Like, why you want to get equity out your home? What are you trying to do?
Yep.
You know?
Especially, you know, people upside down on their loan, man. They have no equity.
Yep.
They owe more than what the house is worth.
So here's an example that says this is how it works. The new student loan cash out refinance loan cannot exceed 80% of the current value of the home property. That's typical. That's been in this place. 80% of the value, right? Because that's for the homeowner's insurance. They want to hold that.
Yeah, and the bank still has a vested interest.
That's right.
They want to protect.
So 80%. You can't go over 80% of it, right? Because they want to be able to have some equity in it. So for example, refinancing a $175,000 mortgage, lowering the rate from 4% to just 0.75%. Rolling in $25,000 in student loans would save the borrower about $80 a month. The lower payment and a student loan gone.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, say you enter a Teacher Next Door program, half of the cost and able to roll it into a loan.
And got a lower interest rate.
And your debt gone.
Yeah.
That's what we need in Muskegon. So people that's worked for the county, people that have been listening to this show, you need to take action. You want Muskegon, Watch Muskegon.
Grow,
if you do that, Watch Muskegon Grow, initiate a program. I know they had it for police officers once upon a time. But like you said, look at the relationship. Now I'm not talking about the Hikes and Muskegon police officers, but we're talking about nationwide. That ain't working.
Mm-mm.
The police officer thing ain't working. Fireman thing, is that'll help a little. We're talking about people with visible faces over decades in our community. Mm-hmm. Teachers. And if a teacher come in, their kid going to be educated. Okay. Then that's going to be educated. Then it's going to bring positive peer groups and change in. Block clubs, tutoring can be happening for your kid. Because that teacher down the street, let me go see this teacher about this kid homework, you know? Or this teacher might have some positive things going on where they come fellowship with you, go to church with you. All that. We're talking about you changing and shifting everything because you know your neighbor.
That's absolutely right.
You know? Absolutely. So we want to build in some great things and just see. So refinancing, we'll lose some student loan projections, including income-based repayment and deferment of loans. Because, see, when you defer, I don't like when people defer their loan because when they do that, Tony, what happens to them is it show up as bad on your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying you can't pay, you a hardship. I remember you saying that before. It's like you a hardship. Like, okay, you qualify for the loan, but you got this hardship right here because you can't pay this little amount right here in the student loan.
Right.
So why should we give you a home loan?
Yeah, why are you deferring it?
So don't do that, audience. Don't do that. Always get
it's
into
a trap,
something.
Man. It's a trap.
It said you'll lose any student loan interest deductions for which you may have been eligible. But if you gain a larger mortgage interest deduction, if you you can itemize it on your tax return. So when you get that reduction and you got that student loan program, look at what you're getting. The interest off of that and the interest off the home. And then a lot of times when you claim that interest the next year when you buy that home, all them fees and them.
Yeah, that's all up front.
All that upfront money you pay, you claim that on your tax when you itemize.
Right.
What you paid the realtor, all that, everybody.
Lower your
title company.
Income.
Man, I'm telling you, people, we got to get ahead in the game. We got to get ahead in the game. Let's take action. Let's make a positive change. Let's start making the city council. Let's start making the Muskegon community, the commissioners, put this on the ballot where teachers next door get 50% off countywide.
We want the school boards of the various districts to get involved through initiatives in Lansing, okay, to make funds available for these initiatives. So, yeah, not only the county, the city, but the school boards got to get involved because we want those teachers to be a part of our community along with police officers, firemen, all county workers, city workers need to live in the city and which pay you your check every week.
That's right. And then them taxes, then those taxes come back to this city.
Yeah. Yeah. They get their check and they go.
Yep. They go away. I call it
go to
the 131 Urban Donut.
Yeah. Get powder, money and run.
Powder white on the outside. chocolate in the inside or empty in the inside. So you want to make sure you avoid that phenomenon, and we try to make sure that we push it and we help. But there's so many benefits for getting that student loan in order, getting your credit order, and being able to purchase a piece of property. Because I do want to be one of those teachers that's vested in this community, and that's what I've been looking for, an incentive like that to help me bring my love and my passion back to this community where I'm here. I'm a visible figure because I always ride through the hood on my bike. I jog. I'm always in the neighborhood. I love the urban core. I love how it thrives. I like everything that's going on from the good to the bad.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love, man. Kids would love nothing more than see you walking to school in the morning.
That's right. Mr. Wynn, where you at? Right around the corner.
Right.
Right here. Don't mess up. I'll be at your crib tonight.
Okay.
All right.
I'll stop by on my way to the home. On my way home. I walk right by your house.
Yep. So, audience, look, we just like I said, today we just announced it. If you currently being garnished, I've been there before. I know how it feel to hit that garnishment and you get that income tax back and they say student loans hit you, $3,000. That hurt. And then they're hitting you for another year. So I don't want you to live that life. Hit me up. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.